Prepare yourselves, Bucs fans. Unleashed from the corporate shackles of the Tampa Tribune, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter is finally free to speak his mind. That's Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton himself. The Ira Kaufman podcast is presented exclusively by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa on Fletcher, just west of 275, and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Brandon's only luxury dealership. The best ever summer sale event is on now at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Turn up the volume, put up your feet. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on at JoeBucksFan.com.
Another Ira Kaufman podcast is here, this time live from One Buck Palace. And gosh, I cannot believe we are on the second month already of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Ira, how's it going, man?
It's going very well. I'm enjoying it. I got a few kudos today, Steve, out at the training camp. Some people said, boy, keep those podcasts going. It's very interesting. It's entertaining. I was happy to get the feedback. And we got to grow this thing bigger and better each week.
That's good, because all I ever hear is, can you get that guy to shut up already, this Ira Kaufman podcast? No, I haven't gotten good feedback. We're also here with Lee DeCamper this time of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee, I'm sure you're enjoying the podcast, too.
Oh, sure, but when you said you had some feedback, I wonder how many janitors here at One Buck Palace were
the
feedback.
Oh, see, even for you, DeCamper, that's a cheap shot. I can say this, the pay grade of the people were a little less than the Glazers and a little more than the groundskeeper, somewhere in between.
Well, that narrows it down. Okay, Ira, practice today, second practice wraps up, joint practice with the Browns. And yesterday we heard Dirk Koetter say he didn't like the juice, didn't like the feel of his team. And this is after they come home, after being on the road, in front of the home fans, the season ticket holders. And this team sort of seems to have a running theme of coming out a little flat. What's your take on that?
My take is this got to be driving Dirk Koetter crazy. Absolutely nuts. Now, the three of us, we know a lot of stuff, and we have a lot of sources in and out of this building. But, Steve, up in those executive offices, Dirk Koetter is laying his heart on the line to anybody who will listen, including his general manager and maybe Brian Glazer, because Dirk Koetter can't understand why these guys aren't enthused about playing football. Lee, I understand. The heat index is 105. I understand that. I understand these games don't count. Nobody's going to remember a scrimmage against the Browns in late August. But, Lee, Steve used the word juice. We haven't seen a lot of it, and that's a shame. That's a darn shame.
Not only is that a shame, it springs to mind a couple things for me here. The first one is, thus far, I understand preseason games are preseason games. But thus far, in the Dirk Koetter era of being offensive coordinator of the Bucs and head coach, the hallmark of his offense is slow starts. Despite what he and previously Lovie Smith always harped on, it's always slow starts. So right now, that's a pattern. That's more than an accident. That's a pattern. As far as the unenthusiastic practices, and today they were lethargic, I used the word. I thought so. It was very boring. Twice, two games in a row, the final season game last year at Carolina, then the first preseason game at Philadelphia. After the game, post-game remarks, Jameis Winston made no secrets that there were people on the team that didn't hate to lose enough, or coaches cared more about winning than the players. Is that a connection with the lack of enthusiasm? I'm starting to wonder. Now, for Jameis to say that in two consecutive games, of course, I asked him about that in a press conference, and if he was trying to get guys off the roster who may be dragging him down, he adamantly denied that. But it's starting to sound like a pattern here.
Steve, now that might be a case of a young kid trying too hard to be a leader. He might be overextending himself a little bit. But, guys, let's admit it. We're out here watching practice every day. We saw the two preseason games going into Friday night's matchup, and there's no passion. And now you got a new head coach who's taking a fresh look at all these young players, Steve. Guys are trying to make the team. They're on the bubble. And you would think, you don't have to go overboard, but these fans want to see passion more than wins, I think, in terms of the preseason.
Now, I have to say, Ira, you got, 40 years in the business. That is a very strong statement to say no passion. That's pretty darn strong. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. It may not be my full opinion.
Right.
But the question I'm going to ask you now is why? Why?
Well, I think maybe they're beaten down by the losing. God knows a lot of Buck fans are, Lee, and it's tough for the three of us, let's be honest, you know, to talk about a 10-win season for the 2016 Bucks based on five straight years of that sublease. Now it's a sublease, Isbits, in the basement. God forbid there's a year six. It's already never been done before in the NFC. That's my little nugget from last year, Steve. I'm harping on it all the time.
You're clinging to that. I'm like clinging to it. Blonde at the beach.
Lee, it's 45 years of football. Mm-hmm. 45 years hasn't happened until last year's Bucks. And now, you know, there's the prospect of them making it year six. That should send a shiver down everybody's spine.
I can't completely agree with the notion that they're beat down by losing for this reason only. You know, Marpet, rookie. I'm assuming the juggernaut known as Hobart College won a few games. Yeah. Donovan Smith, Penn State, they were playing in bowl games. Obviously, Jameis had one loss to his resume in college. We can go down the line. Was Joe Hawley that much of a loser? Evan Smith came from the Packers. So, yeah, they have experienced losing with the Bucks, but overall, their football careers, I don't know. Now, if you want to say Vincent Jackson, sure. He's been here for every year they've been in the basement. Mike Evans has been, this is his third year. He's, what, eight wins total? I could sort of see that. But most of the guys starting on offense, they come from winning backgrounds.
I just want to see, Steve, more evidence that the guys on this team love to play football.
Now, defensively, they show.
And we know that about the quarterback.
Defensively.
Any question about the quarterback.
Well, defensively, they show that.
I'm glad you mentioned the quarterback because Derek Brooks himself and others, when Jameis came into the league, their biggest concern was how he would handle losing. And he got experience with that. Bucks are riding a four-game losing streak to end the season. It was very deflating for the team, very, very much for Jameis. As Lee mentioned earlier, he melted down at the end of the season. And do you think any of this lack of passion this season is a carryover from Jameis in some sort of way, as he is the leader of this club? I'm just, you know, want to know how you see that.
I don't think so, Steve. I see it more the people around number three. Look, everybody who watched the telecast last week, when they showed that pregame hype speech by Winston, his eyes were bugging out. You would think this was a playoff game. And yet this was a meaningless game in Jacksonville. I don't notice it has had an effect on Winston per se, Steve, and that's the irony. You know, maybe it's the passions of youth, Lee. You know, the kid's still 22, not beaten down, thank God, from a Buck perspective. But he needs a little help, Steve. And these fans that attended these 11 open practices here at One Buck Place in the past month, they were looking for reasons to get excited. Now, their support was strong and unwavering, Steve, but I think it's fair to say this was not a vociferous 11 open practice crowds.
Except for yesterday.
and that was a negative.
Now, this is the Ira Kaufman podcast brought to you by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, proud supporters of JoeBucksFan.com and Ira Kaufman himself. Speaking of eyes bugging out, that's, you know, we saw Jameis, and that's what we look like when the buffet rolls out here at One Buck Palace. So it's not just about youth. We get excited as well ourselves.
Except for today's lunches, but you know, this is a question.
Good thing Jonathan Grella's not around.
There you go. You're going.
I understand what you're talking about as far as vociferous crowds and more big words from you.
They want a reason to get involved, engaged, Steve, and I don't think the Bucks gave them a lot of reason.
Well, I think some of that plays off the preseason games. The fans watch the preseason games, which were uninspiring, and they come out and they're not as excited. But I don't know. But let's touch on that Roberto Aguayo, which we talked about in the last podcast. Since our last podcast Tuesday, he comes out and hits 3 out of 6 in practice. Some fans booed. I think every fan watching had a reaction to that. Lee and I sit in the stands watching. And, gosh, Everybody had some sort of reaction, and it's unreasonable to think they wouldn't, considering on the practice Tuesday, it was season ticket holders only, and these are people passionate about the club and
financially invested.
Goodness gracious, of course, you put 2,000 season ticket holders out there and they watch Aguayo miss 3 out of 6, one very, very badly. They're going to moan and groan, and some are going to boo. And it was a sort of a rough moment for the franchise in many ways, because this never happens. Lee wrote about this and said, I've never seen anybody get heckled and booed like that at practice outside of maybe one, you know, a yeller here and there. This was interesting.
It's quite remarkable, gentlemen, that in the span of 10 days, this has emerged as a major national story in terms of NFL coverage.
Not just locally, but nationally.
Not just locally. You know, AP has to write about Robert Aguayo right now.
ESPN had it on their front page. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, has been all over it.
You know, and the kid, I think, you know, let's be honest, I think he compounded this issue by telling the world who he was talking to and reaching out. And, you know, it's blood in the water, Steve. That's what it is. It's blood in the water.
For who?
For the media. For the media. You know, they harp on that he's now, you know, got a mental coach and it's all in his head. And I liken it, you know, I don't know how you guys feel, but like, suppose you're stuck behind a slow-moving car. Now, you haven't heard this analogy yet.
Not a Cadillac.
This is a new one, not a Cadillac. And, you know, the car in front of you is not even going the speed limit, and you're behind it in the right lane, and here come all those cars behind you making that quick switch into the left lane. It's like, again, blood in the water. They know you're stuck, and you can't get out of it. You keep looking in your rearview mirror. You can't get out of it. Aguayo is now in the right lane. He can't get out of the right lane, Steve. He's got to turn this thing around quickly. Otherwise, there's going to be too much pressure, Lee, to bring in some competition. And who knows what's going to happen once that occurs.
Well, here's what I find interesting about the whole thing. Fans, of course, on Twitter have been going at JoeBucksFan.com and on our comments on our site, of course. Like, oh, you can't write about him. You can't say anything about the kicks. Can't be negative. Too much pressure. Too much pressure. If he can handle heckling from what, Steve? 7,500 fans in practice. A, how's he going to handle home games? B, how's he going to handle a road game at New Orleans or a road game at Kansas City in November? I mean, good. This guy, if he's mentally that fragile, they got a major issue on their hands.
Well, it goes a little deeper, and I want you to comment on this, Ira, here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. This is what the NFL wants. This is what they have set up, and Team Glazer is fully in favor of it. Now, and what I'm talking about is, they want us to live the quote-unquote Bucks life. And if all these practices are open, many teams open OTA practices to fans. The Glazers this year had a mini-camp practices open to fans, season ticket holders, VIP fans.
Select fans, yeah.
So more access, Steve, more access.
Yep. And we sit here in One Buck Palace, where the team spends hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to run a website that covers practice and everything related to the Bucks. They want you to obsess. So the fans need to realize that this is what the NFL wants. They want us sitting here as media and as fans to be going cuckoo over practice.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Steve, because I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about Twitter and how overwhelming it is. And I used you guys as my example. And I said, as we're sitting here, Joe Bucks fan, maybe more than any other site that covers the Bucks on a regular basis, is tweeting play-by-play of a scrimmage against the Cleveland Browns. If I told you that 10 years ago, you would have been astounded. Play-by-play of a scrimmage? Yet, every 20 seconds, there it was. Winston with a flare pass dropped by Austin Seferian Jenkins. Comma, what else is new? Now, that part I made up. But you know what I'm saying, Steve? So it goes to
and
your
fans
point.
Eat that up.
The minutia, everything is now fair game. Everything.
Let me take that one step further. Here at One Buck Palace for the fans, at the practices you're talking about, there's free Wi-Fi. Now, the team can flick the button, no free Wi-Fi. That's going to knock a lot of fans out of their phones and tweeting and sharing. They could easily say, no cameras. But no. Bring your cameras. Bring, you know, get it going. Share what you see.
Start a dialogue.
Get it going.
Engagement.
Engage. And they've got their own radio show right on Buccaneers.com broadcasting. So they want this. They covet this, and they can't dial it back and then say, well, you're freaking out. You're covering practice too much.
The hunger for the NFL, Lee, it's insatiable.
It is. You're right. It is. The fans can't get enough. I mean, here's one for you. The Combine. What, 10 years ago, there might have been 35, 40 guys at the Combine? Last year, they credentialed
1,200?
Yeah. Last year, they credentialed 1,200 media, including Steve and I. I call it the NFL's version of a winter carnival.
Boy, the way things have changed exponentially, Steve, it's amazing.
But that changes the game on Roberto Aguayo, who we're talking about, because it's a different NFL. And you cannot compare him to Janikowski coming in, because what pressure did Janikowski have?
Or even Jan Stenerud.
You know, you basically waited to see how he did and performed. And I forget which kicker I heard talking the other day. I'll probably write about it tomorrow on JoeBucksFan.com. Was saying that the quality of kicking, if you just even look at the data, has improved exponentially since Janikowski came in. So those bad years by the old guys, a bad year now is much better than it was years ago. And how long do you wait on Aguayo?
If you don't make 80% of your kicks now, Steve and Lee, you're run out of the league. I believe the league average is 75%.
I think it's a little higher than that.
Maybe a little higher.
Not much,
now,
but a little bit.
Here's the part about Aguayo that I find most interesting. I don't think he has a particularly powerful leg.
No.
Nobody ever compared him to Janikowski in terms of distance.
Right.
His thing is reliability. Mm-hmm. Never missed inside the 40. Florida State, 46 for 46 lead.
Never missed an extra point either,
so,
if I recall.
So when your forte, Steve, is accuracy and reliability, make the ones, Lee, you should make. Mm-hmm. Like a shortstop. Mm-hmm. Make the routine plays. And occasionally you sprinkle in a gem. But you don't have to be Ozzie Smith. There's only one. and Steve, here, he's missing very makeable kicks. That scares the heck out of Buck fans. But let me throw this out. It's way too early to close the book on Roberto Aguayo. Unlike you closing the book on Austin Seferian Jenkins about 3 weeks ago, and I'm never going to let you forget
that. You won't
that,
let that go. All right, we'll let you there.
Well, Steve, why don't you describe the kick that really got people searching for the Melanta yesterday? It was, about a 38-yard kick, and where it landed?
He lined up. It was first kick from 45. He took two from 45. The last two he missed. The first one barely cleared the line and bounced at the five.
Not tipped.
No.
Not tipped.
Not tipped. Next one was just wide. So
wide what?
I was watching.
Who was the drunk
know.
Colts kicker against the Steelers in the playoffs? That kind of wide.
Yeah. I saw the ball go up, and I was watching the referees to see that, because they had officials at practice, so I wanted to see their reaction. I saw the no good. It was close, but, close.
But with the Jags, it was wide right both times. Wide right both times with the Jags.
Yes,
all right,
correct.
So what about this third one that you were talking about?
Oh, the third one, the third miss?
Yeah.
That was the first miss. It was an extra point distance. So, yeah, that's again, here we are talking about practice. It's practice, but that's the reality we're in. It's a very interesting situation. We're going to watch this tomorrow night, Friday night. Like, every Bucs fan's going to be glued. No one's going to the toilet.
Nobody's talking about Robert Ayers going into Friday night. They're talking about this kid.
And no one's going to the toilet when there's an extra point. That's going to be they'll be locked in. But this will be a very interesting fodder for next week based on what happens. Now, the Buccaneers coming into this game, Ira, aside from the fast starts, aside from the energy, what are you looking for? I saw you out there talking to Mike Smith at practice. I'm sure you gleaned some insight, unless you guys were talking about your golf game and your pretty hair. What was going on?
We were talking about the secondary, Steve. First thing I asked him is, how is your defensive unit doing overall? You know what he said? Okay.
Hmm.
Now, when Lovie Smith said okay about a guy, that was bad.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad. That means he had a lousy game. You know, we learn Lovie speak after a while. Mm-hmm. I don't think Smith's like that. And I like the fact that Smith's holding them to a high standard, because let's face it, I think the secondary overall has played pretty well. The D-line's been a little up and down. Bortles made a heck of a throw on that touchdown.
Yeah,
it was
a beautiful throw.
That was a beautiful throw. Grimes was not in terrible position.
No.
You're going to get beat. And those two wide receivers,
they're
about as good a young tandem, Steve, as there is in the National Football League. Let's be honest. Jacksonville flies under the radar because they don't win any games.
Plus, looking at Jacksonville.
You know, that guy threw 35 touchdowns last year. So I was asking Smith about Grimes in particular, Steve, and the impact he's had on the young players like a Hargraves. And he said he's been outstanding. Hargraves also credits Grimes for teaching him the tricks of the trade. Not all veterans are very good at that, Lee. They try to protect their own spot on the roster. Not that Grimes is in any danger of making this team. But they worry about being a starter. You know, why should I give Jonathan Banks any tips or Werner?
Protecting their own turf.
Or Hargraves. Yep. So it was refreshing to hear that, you know, Grimes is keeping an open mind on that. But going into this third game, and I like to call it the final game, because God knows, Steve, the fans that pay full price for game number four, Lee, that's a disaster. I'm not sure Winston's going to play. I'm not sure McCoy's going to play.
Doug Martin.
It wouldn't surprise me, Lee, one bit.
And maybe not Marpet.
In game four, none of them are going to play.
As far as what we're looking at?
Yeah, what are you looking at on Friday?
Well, outside of Aguayo, I'm looking at the front, the defensive line. Defensive line vanished against Jacksonville. There was no pass rush. None to be found. Everybody was jumping for joy at what they did at Philly, and it was a complete 180 what happened in Philly. So will there be a pass rush? That's number one. Number two, then I think we discussed this, the fast start. You know, Jameis was accurate at Philadelphia. He had a fast start with the exception of that fumble, which was bad news. So will they get a fast start? That's another thing I'm looking at. Obviously, like Steve suggested, I don't believe Doug Martin will play Friday. I don't know that. No one's told me any different, but Cutter has said numerous times, why get him beat up in preseason? So it's going to be looking for the backup running backs. Seems like the Bucs have good options there.
I'd like to see less flags too, Steve, and not just from a Buck perspective. It slows the whole game down.
Sure.
That first quarter was an abomination. I thought I was watching Pop Warner over there.
Bad football. The Doug Martin thing will be interesting for a couple of reasons. One, he sat out practice Tuesday, but he was back on Wednesday.
I'd like to see him get 5 or 6 carries Friday, Steve.
He was back on Wednesday. He looked lively, and I talked to Doug Martin about this in Jacksonville. I said to him, hey, you know, a lot of fans want to put you in bubble wrap. What do you have to say to that? And he said, man, I need the preseason. I need to get a feel for my body. And, you know, he said he even took it to the point saying, when you're in a game, that's when you really feel how strong you are physically. And, you know, do I need to do a little more in the weight room? He just liked it as a gauge. Doesn't mean he'll play. I have no use to watch him there, but he did practice, so he might actually
Steve,
get
I know this theory that fans have, Lee, that Doug Martin doesn't have anything to prove. McCoy doesn't have anything to prove. Levante, you know what? You can overdo that, Steve. They want to get into a rhythm. They want to get football ready, and the way you do that is against competition.
Well, to be honest with you, Doug Martin has not had consecutive good seasons. So
that's right.
Let's be honest. Another thing, I'm going to bring this up. This may be a developing pattern. I might be jumping the gun. What I'm looking for, you know, I mentioned Marpet. Will he play? Will he not play? Because he came out of practice today with a dinged ankle. Well, last year he was hurt, missed, what, 3 games?
3 games.
Granted, he was coming from glorified high school to the NFL, so I can expect that. And he had told me when I was doing a story last year about the rookie wall, and he said, oh, yeah, I have the rookie wall. He goes, if I didn't get hurt and I was still playing, there's no question I would have hit the wall. So he was almost thankful in a perverse way that he missed a couple games because he got to recuperate. His body got to recuperate. Is he injury prone? Now, I might be jumping the gun, but here he is. I talked to him after practice Monday, and he was fine. He was joking around, signing autographs for people, joking around with fans. I talked to him.
Too early, Lee. Too early.
It could
too
be,
early
but that's
make that assertion.
It could be, but it's interesting that he's only been here.
Tuesday after practice, Lee talked to him. He was fine, bouncing around, happy, and then all of a sudden Wednesday morning he's in a boot. I'll say this, though. I don't think, Lee, you're jumping the gun at all. I know you don't roll that way, custodian.
All right.
Here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. But look.
I think they're being very cautious.
The guy hurt his ankle last year, missed a few games.
He
had off-season surgery. Okay. He had a cleanup on his ankle. That's a cleanup, quote unquote, that's a little bit of a red flag for a 23-year-old guy. Now he's got to wear in the boot. I have never seen in all my years covering football, when a guy wears the boot, that's 2 weeks off, minimum. Because the boot is a significant thing. There's a reason for the boot. And when you wear the boot, you're not using all your ankles and staples, a stabilization issue. He's a lineman. I've never seen
You've been
weeks.
Watching that movie Das Boot too much, is now, stop reading stuff in. We'll see if Marpet plays.
Reading stuff in. Come on. The guy's wearing
the
a boot.
I think if any
He's wearing a boot,
front,
Ira.
If any buck up front, Lee, is going to make the Pro Bowl in 2016, it's going to be Ali Marpet.
Bold.
Think that good.
Bold so, predictions by so, the custodian.
You know, put that in your ASJ prediction, and we'll see where
okay,
we stand.
You know what? I know you don't play fantasy football, but you can take ASJ, and then we'll wager a little bit. I'll take a real tight end.
You want Cameron Brayton, I'll take ASJ. All
right. Absolutely. All right. Absolutely. All right. It's been fun on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Anything you want to add, Custodian? Anyone want to tell
We are going to have three games in the books, gentlemen, when next we meet next week for our loyal listeners and readers. And we all agree game four means absolutely nothing except for those final five spots on a 53-man
Yeah, will you be a football
roster.
Player or will you be a plumber?
So, you know what? We are going to talk about your 2016 Bucks and what fans can expect when the bullets start flying in Atlanta that day.
Well, we look forward to it. Thanks, Ira.
You've been listening to the Ira Kaufman Podcast on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.